curious today, aren't you? You don't have to answer me if you don't want to. He always gave me the privilege of having a choice. I would do the same for him. I don't have to do anything if I don't want to. He drank his coffee before he set it down again. His muscles tensed any time he moved, the chiseled lines of his physique protruding out like the lines from a statue. He had an incredible body, toned in the right places and lean in other places. My father ran the business before us. We inherited it.
Didn't realize you could inherit something criminal.
You can inherit anything, just like how I inherited my mother's eyes.
They are pretty. I blurted it out without thinking, but I was sure Kane knew all of his features were nice.
Not as pretty as yours.
He took a few bites of his eggs, his eyes downcast.
My parents were killed from a blood war they had with a competitor. Crow and I inherited that as well. He was the one we stole Pearl from.
The backstory kept getting thicker and thicker. And he's dead now, right?
Pearl killed him.
So now there's no competitor?
Not currently, but other men are looking to take his place. It's something Crow and I are concerned about.
Because?
Whoever takes Bones' place will need to be even more ruthless. We killed one tyrant, but that may give birth to a worse enemy.
Hearing all this made me miss my old life. It was much simpler. Sounds like a lot of stress. He shrugged.
It can be.
Are you ever afraid someone is gonna take a shot at you? He opened his newspaper again like this conversation was boring.
I think about it, but no, I'm not afraid. Dying doesn't scare me.
I didn't believe that. Everyone is afraid to die.
It's natural, so there's no reason to be scared of it. Life is just a phase. It passes.
I didn't know if that was ignorant or extremely wise. Do you ever think about doing something else? He closed his paper again, and this time put it off to the side. If he was annoyed, he didn't show it.
Do you think I'm interesting?
I took a bite of my toast. I think all my friends are interesting. He gave me a look I'd never seen before.
You see me as a friend?
What else are you? We screwed several times a day, but there was nothing romantic between us. We weren't strangers anymore, and I never thought of us as enemies. He never answered.
No, I never think about doing anything else. I like being in charge, and I like money.
I could tell he was loaded by looking at his house and all his cars. There's nothing else you're passionate about?
It sounds like you're judging me.
I didn't know what he was referring to. I'm not. I'm just curious. People usually have three or four passions in life. I've always wanted to be a teacher, but I've also wanted to be an artist. Obviously, neither one worked out. He kept eating like my words didn't break his stride.
Actually, I like art too. Paintings mainly.
Yeah? I couldn't help but smile because it suited him, oddly enough.
Yeah, but don't look at me like I'm some kind of pussy.
I didn't drop my smile. I wasn't. He finished half of his plate in a few bites and left his fork on the empty dish.
You've asked me a lot of questions. Now it's my turn.
I'm really not that interesting. He finally turned my way so he could see my expression clearly.
Do you enjoy being with me?
I knew exactly in what context he meant that. He wasn't referring to our lunches and dinners or our conversations by the fire. He was referring to the nights between the sheets, the sex we had in front of the fireplace. His eyes were glued to my face, watching every little reaction that I couldn't control. His dark eyes stared at me without blinking, their intensity scorching. It was a complicated question, and I'd never taken the time to think about it. When I sat around and thought about things, it usually made me depressed. It was easier to ignore my feelings about my current situation. But there were some innate emotions that were undeniable. I knew exactly how my body felt about Kane the first time he kissed me. Those passions had never gone away. In fact, they roared like the flames in his hearth. Yes. He'd been expecting that answer based on his lack of reaction.
Did you enjoy being with Tristan?
The question was so insulting I didn't answer.
Or anyone else?
Again, I was silent.
So, I'm the only one?
I wasn't going to lie and pretend I didn't come every time we had sex. As much as I tried to hide, it was always obvious. Even if I could keep quiet, he felt my body tighten around him as the emotion swept me away.
You know the answer.
I want to hear you say it anyway.
To boost your ego?
No, just so I know for sure. Honestly, I didn't care about making you feel good until I finally got my hands on you. Once I touched you, I wanted you to feel what I felt. There's something about you. You're the sexiest woman I've ever been with.
The last thing I should do was blush, but that's what I did. The words were sweet, even if they weren't meant that way. I've been beaten and raped.
That's not what I see. I see a gorgeous woman with the softest lips in the world. I see my ultimate fantasy. I never think about what came before me. I only think about you.
I lost my appetite altogether when I listened to his confession. He wanted me for my body, but he wasn't sleazy about it. He made me feel beautiful, made me feel adored. With Tristan, I felt like a body with four limbs, nothing more. Kane pulled my answer from my lips without repeating the question.
You're the only man I've ever enjoyed. I didn't think I could enjoy sex after everything Tristan put me through. But I like it with you.
I averted my gaze once I felt the embarrassment creep into my veins. I confessed that I enjoyed having sex with a man who traded me for a deal. There was something seriously wrong with me.
What do you like the most?
He pried further, wanting details I'd never considered.
I like it when you kiss me. I'd never been kissed that way before. He could make me come from that alone.
The corner of his mouth rose in a smile.
I've never been a big kisser, but I really like kissing you. I noticed it right away.
What do you like the most about me? What was it about me that he desired so much? Was it my chest? Was it my ass?
Tristan preferred my ass because he usually took me from behind.
I like your neck.
I stared at him blankly, surprised by that answer.
It's so slender and soft. I love kissing the hollow of your throat, feeling your pulse against my lips. I love the curve of your face, the way your cheeks highlight your pretty eyes. I like your lips. I like your hair. When I'm inside you, you make this face. It's so sexy. When I saw you in that airport, my gut told me to do something because I'd never seen another woman like you.
My lips parted slightly, and I felt my breathing increase. I suddenly felt hot all over, my body aching for those lips to drag across my neck. I wanted to make the face he described, to be exactly what he described.
What were you trying to do that day?
He took me as a slave for 31 days. He didn't seem like the type of man who went on dates.
Honestly, I don't know. I guess I would have asked you out.
You don't seem like the kind of guy who asks for a date.
I'm not.
But you would have asked me? He shrugged.
We'll never know, because you didn't speak to me.
I couldn't.
It all made sense when I saw you at Tristan's.
If I hadn't been trafficked that afternoon, how different would my life have been? If Kane made a pass at me at the airport, would I have said yes? Would we have dated and had amazing sex? Kane stared at me, and I wondered if he was having the same thoughts. After our conversation, only one thing was on my mind. My pussy ached for his large cock, and my nails wanted to dig into his powerful physique. I wanted those soft lips all over my body, worshipping me. Kane's eyes darkened like he was thinking the same thing. I set the tray at the end of the bed before I straddled his hips. I was just in his t-shirt with no panties, so I was ready to go. Kane lay back against the pillows and gripped my hips, a feral look in his eyes. His cock was instantly hard underneath me, thick and long and ready to enter my tightness. He squeezed my hips, then my ass. I pulled down his sweatpants and boxers until his cock was free. It was already oozing at the tip, ready to move inside me. I positioned him at my entrance and slowly sheathed him, aware that I'd never done anything like this before. Tristan always took control of the situation, and Kane usually did the same. I'd never climbed on top of a man and taken charge like this. Kane guided my hips down and released a quiet moan once he was buried deep inside me. His fingertips dug into me possessively before he guided me up again, then back down.
Play with your tits, bellissima.
It was a name I'd quickly adopted. Now I never heard him refer to me by my real name, and I liked it that way. I felt like a different woman with a new identity. It was almost like the past never happened at all. My hands cupped my breasts, and I massaged them in the best way I could. I'd never played with myself in front of a man. I'd never tried to be sexy or seductive. I could look like a total idiot right now, and I wouldn't know. Kane seemed to like it because his breathing increased. His fingers dug into me harder, and his eyes darkened. Slowly, he moved his hips with me, thrusting his length inside me as I moved up and down.
Fuck.
Watching him enjoy me gave me more confidence. I moved up and down harder, letting the arousal direct my movements. He sat up and hooked his arms behind my knees, lifting me up and down his length as he gently rocked into me. He'd never been this deep inside me before, and I wrapped my arms around his neck and moaned through the pleasure. He was deep and thick, and his impressive size felt so incredible. My clit rubbed against his body every time he lifted me, and I felt the heat flood my core. I had friends who told me their boyfriends hardly ever made them come, and it took forever to happen on the rare times it did occur. But that wasn't the case with Kane. If he wanted to make me come, he could do it whenever he wanted. And he did.
God, Kane.
His eyes darkened and he pumped into me harder, ramming me right in my sweet spot.
Bellissima.
I screamed right in his face, coming all over his dick and enjoying every second of it. My nails dug into his shoulders and I pressed my face into the crook of his neck as I finished, my teeth nicking his skin slightly. When I finished, Kane moved me to my back and pressed his heavy weight on top of me. He fucked me hard into the mattress, making the bed shake and the coffee mugs fall to the hardwood floor and shatter. He gripped my thigh around his waist as he gave it to me as deep and hard as possible. Within a minute, he came with a loud moan, depositing all of his seed inside me. He shoved his entire length into my channel and gave me every drop, making sure I took it all. I gripped his ass and pulled him deep into me,
wanting his cum as much as he wanted to give it. That made his eyes darken more, like he wasn't satisfied at all. It seemed like he wanted me all over again, even though we just finished. A sheen of sweat had formed on his upper lip, and when he kissed me, I could taste the salt. I felt his cock soften inside me with disappointment. I wanted to keep going, to make this last longer, but we'd both reached our climax. Kane stayed buried inside me like we weren't finished.
I'm not going anywhere.
Kane led me to the car and opened the door for me. Where are we going? The only place we'd visited together was Crow's estate in Tuscany. Other than that, I stayed home while he went to work during the day.
Sightseeing. I thought we would start with Rome.
Sightseeing? Why would Kane want to see the historical landmarks he'd experienced his entire life? You don't seem like the tourist type.
I know you didn't get to see any of Greece. Thought I'd show you around, unless you don't want to.
The words flew out of my mouth. Of course, I do. Just doesn't seem like something you'd be into.
I'm into getting laid.
He winked, then guided me inside before he shut the door. He got into the driver's side of his two-seater black car. The powerful engine came to life, purring like a mountain lion. Well, you'd get laid anyway.
But I'm sure you'll step it up a notch.
He left the house and drove past Florence and headed for the capital of the country. The radio was on, and everything was in Italian, so I couldn't understand a word of it. There was only one word I did understand. Bellissima. After yesterday, I wasn't sure if that was possible. I can try. Kane and I didn't talk much on the drive, but we didn't talk much as it was. Most of our relationship was based off physical communication more than anything else. He had a few phone calls that were all in Italian. Are you sure you don't need to work today? He drove with one hand on the wheel and ignored my question altogether.
What did you want to see first?
I don't know. All of it. He chuckled.
We have to start somewhere. How about the Colosseum?
Ooh, that sounds great. He moved his hand to my thigh and gave it a gentle squeeze.
Perfect.
We spent most of the afternoon in Rome, seeing the historical culture that Kane was immune to. But I saw the way his eyes soaked up the magnificent buildings that stood the test of time. The fact that most of these places were thousands of years old made me feel so insignificant. In a few weeks, my life would be over, but these buildings would still be standing tall. After a few hours on foot, we grabbed some lunch at a restaurant nearby. I was starving after all the walking we did, and I didn't bother trying to read the menu. I'd just point to the first selection and hope it was good. Kane eyed me across the table and ignored the glass of wine he'd just gotten.
I can explain the menu to you.
I'm sure whatever I get will be delicious.
I don't know. Americans have specific tastes.
As long as there isn't raccoon or something on the menu, I'll be fine. He tried to suppress his grin.
Raccoon? Did you grow up in the mountains or something?
Thinking about home quickly made me sad, despite the incredible day we were having. I was enjoying the sights while my family was terrified. They probably knew what happened to me, that I'd been taken into slavery. It kept them up every night, worried about how I was being treated, or if I was still alive. It made me feel horrible. Kane noticed my mood change instantly. Over the course of the past 2 weeks, we'd been together nearly all of the time. He understood my facial expressions and my moods, even when I didn't say anything. I understood his just as well.
What did I say?
Nothing. I place my menu on top of his. You can pick something out. Kane didn't blink as he stared me down. His expression hardly ever softened. He seemed displeased most of the time, seriously annoyed. Sometimes I wondered if it was a mask he put on due to his line of work, because that wasn't always the way it worked. When we screwed, that expression wasn't so fierce.
Tell me, Bellissima.
That nickname always hit me right in the chest. It stopped me in my tracks and chased away any negativity I felt. There was something about the way he said it. It was full of affection and possessiveness. It made me feel beautiful, desired in the kind of way I liked. When I think about home, I think about my parents. They must be heartbroken. I'm probably all they can ever think about. I averted my gaze because I didn't expect Kane to care. He wasn't close to anyone besides his brother and sister-in-law, and even then, his affection was still hidden deep inside his psyche. He already didn't feel bad for me as it was. I'd asked him if I could call my parents, and he rejected my request. His hand moved across the table until it rested on top of mine. His thumb stroked my knuckles gently as he stared at me with a pair of soft eyes. I eyed his hand, surprised by the compassion. My fingers moved with his until our fingers were interlocked. Kane didn't speak. All he did was touch me and comfort me with his eyes. They were dark and foreboding, but sometimes they could make me feel like I was living in a different world. They made me feel safe. Made me feel whole. After a round of rough sex on his bed, he hopped into the shower, then dressed in jeans and a t-shirt. My eyes were heavy, and I was about to slip away into my dreams. The only reason I was still awake was because my body was waiting for him to join me. I was used to that powerful physique keeping me warm and safe throughout the night. Are you going somewhere? I sat up and held the sheet to my chest so my breasts wouldn't get cold.
I just need to do some stuff at the office. I'll be back before you wake up.
I'd never seen him leave so late at night. Everything all right?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
He leaned over the bed and gave me a quick kiss on the lips, the kind of kiss a husband would give his wife.
I just need to catch up on a few things.
Why did we go sightseeing if you had stuff to do today? He shrugged.
It slipped my mind.
He grabbed his jacket on the way to the door.
I'll see you in the morning.
He walked out and shut the door behind him. The fire was still burning in the fireplace, but it would die out in the next hour or two. At least that would keep me warm until he returned. Something about his story still didn't add up, and it took me a few minutes before I finally figured it out. He felt bad for me. He took me out to see the sights because he knew I would be dead in a few weeks. He was trying to make my remaining time enjoyable, making up for all the things I wouldn't be able to do. The thought brought me to tears. I stared at the fire as I watched the flames burn away. My tears were just as hot as the burning fire, and I felt them drop from my chin and onto the sheets. I pulled my knees to my chest and tried to steady myself, tried not to pity myself. Kane had much more compassion than I realized, but somehow that made me feel worse. Chapter 22. Pearl. As soon as Crow left for work the next morning, I took one of the cars and headed to the airport. Now that I was married, I officially had Italian identification, and I was a citizen of both Italy and America, even though I would never return to my homeland. I only had a few hours before Crow would know what I was up to. When he found out, He would be mad. Like, really mad. The flight to France was short, and I got into the cab shortly afterward. I managed to get the address from Lars since he had access to all critical information. I was certain Crow didn't share everything with his butler, but Lars had a way of knowing things. Worked out for me. When I pulled up to the estate near the harbor, I felt the terror grip my chest. I was walking into a danger zone, but the fear wasn't enough to hold me back. If I didn't do this, I would regret it. Besides, I had the Barsetti name to keep me safe. I walked up to the guards at the front. "Evening, gentlemen." The one on the left looked me up and down like I was for sale.
"A gift for Tristan?"
I glared. "The only gift he'll get from me is a shoe up his ass." He exchanged a look with the other guard.
"You're here to see him?"
"I'm definitely not here to make small talk with you." His eyes narrowed at my disrespect, but he didn't mouth off to me.
"Name?"
"Pearl Barsetti."
"Wait here."
He walked inside and shut the big black doors behind him. The other guy moved toward me.
"Arms up."
His hands immediately went for my stomach to search me. "Touch me and I'll rip your eyes out." I wasn't going to let anyone place a hand on me ever again. He heeded my warning and stopped. The first guard returned.
"He'll see you."
The second guard crossed his arms over his chest, his cold eyes reserved for me. He spoke in French, so I couldn't understand. The first guard said something back, and their conversation continued. "I don't have a gun," I said, assuming that's what they were talking about. "You don't need to search me." The first guard walked back inside again and returned a moment later.
"He'll see you."
He held the door open and nodded me inside. I guess being a hard ass got stuff done. I walked in with my head held high and my shoulders back. I'd be lying if I said I felt safe without Crow beside me, but I knew his power reached beyond his borders. None of the men in there would think twice about messing with me. It would start a war they didn't want to fight. I assumed Tristan was the one sitting at the dining table with greasy black hair and a very crooked nose. It looked like he'd broken it 3 times, and in every instance, he didn't heal properly. His grin looked like a sneer when he stared at me.
"Well, Crow has good taste."
He spoke English well, but his French accent was heavy. His eyes moved from my head to my toes, and he violated me with just a look. As long as he didn't touch me, I could deal with it. I wish I could say the same about his business partners. I didn't take a seat at the table, feeling more comfortable standing. His henchmen lingered in the shadows with tiny pistols on their hips. He took my insult in stride.
"Your new husband isn't keeping you satisfied? Is that why you're here today?"
This guy was eerily similar to Bones. It made the bile rise up in my throat and enter my mouth. "I'm here to talk about Adelina."
"Ah, yes, my whore. I miss her."
I couldn't count the number of times Bones called me the same thing. It pressed my buttons, hard.
"I'm sure Kane is enjoying her. How could he not? Her sobs are beautiful."
My hand tightened into a fist. "Human trafficking is an international crime."
"Murder is an international crime too." He gave me a threatening look. "And I didn't traffic her. I paid for her."
"Same thing."
"Is your husband the trafficker then?"
he asked coldly. It wasn't comparable.
"You enjoy getting fucked by a rich man. That's why you stayed. Perhaps Adelina will feel the same way."
How did Kane work with this man? He was lower than scum. "You're going to release her."
"Why?"
He took a drink, seeming bored.
Because keeping a human is a crime. He shrugged.
I commit worse crimes every day. Don't expect me to care, because I never will.
Was I foolish enough to expect this conversation to go any differently? Tristan stared at me with the same disdain I showed for him. He didn't have an ounce of compassion, not a drop of human dignity. I thought Crow was cold when I first met him, but I quickly saw the softness he tried so hard to hide. That was how I knew I would be okay. He was nothing like Bones, and with him, I was safe. The Tristan was a real piece of work. He thought he owned the world and everything in it. I'll buy her from you. What do you say to that? He took another drink, then licked the wine from his lips.
She's not for sale.
I wanted to shoot him right between the eyes. Everything has a price. He wiped his mouth with the back of his forearm, then looked me up and down.
Very true. The price for Adalina is you.
A chill ran up my spine, and not the kind that Crow usually caused. His eyes roamed over my body in a sleazy way, eye-fucking me right where I stood.
You care about her so much, so take her place.
You know I'm married to Crow.
Exactly. That's why you're so valuable. I'd love to fuck another man's wife.
I'd hate to imagine what Crow would do if he heard that. I'm not a bargaining chip. I'll give you cash for her. He shook his head.
She's not for sale. I won't tell you again.
I had nothing better to offer since I refused to give up myself. Taking her place wouldn't accomplish anything in the long run. Both of us deserve to be free, not be playthings to psychopaths like Tristan. He crossed his legs as he continued to stare me down.
The only reason why you're safe right now is because Crow and Kane are great men to do business with. They make an excellent product, and they keep their mouths shut. However, I'm not gonna let you walk out of here without a scar next time, so make sure you don't come back. Consider that to be your only warning.
He snapped his fingers and signaled to his henchmen to walk me out. One moved to grab my arm, but I dug my elbow into his side and made him stagger back. I know the way. I glared at the other guy, telling him he better not make the same mistake of touching me. He didn't. When I landed in Rome, my phone immediately began to go off. Crow had figured it out. He probably came home and realized I wasn't there. He checked his tracker and saw me traveling from France to Italy at a high speed. Within seconds, he probably deduced exactly what I'd done. And now he was pissed. I took the call as I walked through the airport. I'm on my way home right now. The silence over the line was absolutely terrifying. Sometimes what he didn't say was more powerful than what he did say. I'm just walking to the car. I'll be there in a few minutes. Still nothing. I couldn't even hear him breathe. Now I was a little scared. I couldn't recall a time when he was so angry he was speechless. When he exploded, I knew there would be fire, lava, and ash. Crow? Click. I kept the phone to my ear just in case I was mistaken with what I heard. But when I eventually got the dial tone, I knew it really happened. He'd never hung up on me before. It was the first time I actually wanted him to scream at me. I missed it. When I walked inside, I knew something was different. There was no smell of dinner cooking from the kitchen or a warm greeting from Lars. Some of the curtains were closed, so the place wasn't filled with as much natural light. It was darker than I preferred, or maybe it was all in my head.
Crow stood at the bottom of the stairs in the suit he wore to work. His arms were crossed over his chest, and he stared at me like his guns were eyes, and my face was the target. I could see his tense shoulders shake slightly as he contained his rage. It was the first time I was truly scared of him. Even on my first night here, I felt safe. He would never do anything against my will, and he wasn't the cruel type. But right now, I wasn't sure who I was dealing with. I waited for him to speak first since he had the right, but nothing ever came out. I closed the distance between us, taking my time getting closer to him. The nearer his presence became, the more unnerved I felt. I always felt like I had the upper hand with Crow, because he allowed me to have it. He respected my drive and my strength, but now he definitely wasn't a fan. "I know you're mad." He lunged at me with lightning speed and grabbed me by the neck. He dug his fingers into my throat before he slapped me hard, so hard I stumbled backward. My hand went to my cheek, and I stared at him in shock. With only fury in his eyes, he came after me again and grabbed me by the back of the hair and forced my head back so I was forced to look him in the eye. He tugged on my hair harshly, yanking at my scalp. The ferocity in his eyes only grew as he breathed hard, directly into my face.
"What the fuck were you thinking?"
He tugged on my hair purposely to cause me pain.
"You think you're invincible, but you aren't. You think you're strong, but you're just weak. You think you're smart, but you're a goddamn idiot."
Spit flew from his mouth as his face turned red. "I was just..."
"You forfeited your right to speak when you put yourself in danger. You disrespected our marriage by making yourself vulnerable to a man known for raping and torturing slaves. I was a flight away and couldn't have done a damn thing to save you. How dare you insult me like that?"
He told me not to speak, but I did anyway. "I wanted to save Adelina."
"By risking your own life?"
He released his hold and pushed me back.
"How could you do this to me? You don't think I've been through enough?"
He moved toward me, forcing me to step back.
"You think I'm not haunted by everything Bones has done to you? You don't think that every day of my life, I'm not scared that something is going to happen to my wife? My whole fucking world?"
The vein throbbed in his forehead, and he looked like an executioner about to take me to the grave.
"You betrayed me."
"I had to do something."
"I'll never forgive you."
He shoved his finger in front of my face, shaking it like a man disciplining a child.
"Not ever. I did what I could for Adelina and tried to figure out a plan, but nothing worked. It wasn't like I ignored you."
"I know, but..."
"Shut up."
He put his hand in my face.
"I did what I could because I knew it was important to you. And this is how you repay me? He and his men could have done whatever they wanted to you, and you wouldn't have been able to stop them. You think you're powerful, but you lack strength as well as intelligence. If you had a brain in that thick skull of yours, you wouldn't have been taken in the first place." "Ouch. You pushed me too far this time. Too fucking far."
I fought the tears that burned in the back of my eyes. They weren't from pain after the way he struck me. They were from the heartbreak his words caused. I knew all his rage stemmed from fear for my safety. When he couldn't protect me, it drove him insane.
"I don't want to speak to you for the rest of the week, and you aren't allowed to leave the estate. Consider yourself grounded."
Any other time, I would have fought tooth and nail against what he said. I'd refuse to let a man control me like that. But right now, we hung in a delicate balance. Crow was truly enraged, and I knew he had every right to be. So I kept my mouth shut,
because I deserved the punishment. He turned around and walked to the stairs, leaving me standing in the entryway. His shoulders were just as rigid as before, and he looked like he wanted to destroy his own house. When he reached the third floor and disappeared from sight, I finally let the tears escape my eyes. And I sobbed.
Chapter 23, Adelina. What are you doing?
I walked into the bedroom and saw the duffel bags on the bed. His t-shirts and jeans were packed like he was going somewhere. The other bag contained some of my things. Kane zipped up the bag and lifted it over his shoulder.
We're taking a short trip. Pack anything else you need.
I crossed my arms over my chest and leaned against the doorframe. Are you going to tell me where we're going?
Just get your things, all right?
He walked out with his bag over his shoulder. I had no idea why he was so distant with me when we had been getting along great. We'd been traveling all over Italy, looking at the tourist attractions like a couple on vacation. The sex had been great, and the conversation had been even better. Then he flipped on me again. I grabbed a few extra toiletries and a jacket, just in case it was cold wherever we were headed. I met him in the entryway, and he grabbed my bag and stuffed it into the trunk. Can you tell me how long we'll be gone for?
2 days, max.
Then this probably wasn't a luxurious vacation. Maybe he had to travel for work, and he decided to take me along. It would explain why he was unwilling to answer questions. With his job, everything was confidential. We drove to the airport and checked in for a red-eye flight. Kane had all the forged foreign papers to get me to travel, and I wasn't sure how he pulled off getting me a passport. But then again, he was a criminal. I shouldn't be surprised. When Kane handed over the tickets to the gate agent, I saw the details. South Carolina, my hometown. When we were in the air at a steady altitude, everyone was asleep in their seats. We were in first class, so we had more legroom and privacy. The constant hum of the engines played in the background and drowned out the occasional shift of someone in their seat. Kane watched the TV on the wall in front of him with a scotch in his cup holder. He hadn't made small talk with me since we left the house, and he didn't seem tired either, even though it was late. Why are we going to South Carolina? I finally asked because I needed to know. He drank from his glass, taking his time and not looking at me. He licked his lips when he was finished and placed the glass in the cup holder.
We're just stopping by.
But why are we going? I pressed. It couldn't be a coincidence that we are traveling to the place where I grew up, where my parents still lived. He glanced around to make sure no one was paying attention to us, and the flight attendant was nowhere nearby.
You can't call your parents because it's too risky. Phones are tapped, and Tristan has eyes and ears everywhere. But if we see them in person and your parents don't tell the cops, that should work.
I heard everything he said, but I couldn't believe it. I was on the way to seeing my parents again, something I thought would never happen. I could hug my father again. I could kiss my mother. I could tell them what happened to me so they wouldn't live the rest of their lives not knowing. It was exactly what I wanted. Something that had been haunting me every single day. Kane, I don't know what to say.
He drank from his glass again, the ice cubes hitting his lips. Just make sure they don't tell the cops. That's all I ask.
I will, but you're still taking a risk. His eyes turned back to the TV. It was so compassionate that I didn't know what to say. I knew he wasn't like the other men I encountered, but I had no idea what kind of heart he possessed. He'd seen the look on my face at dinner, and knew this was something that truly bothered me.
Thank you. My sister was taken from me. It was really hard. Trying to sleep at night, imagining how she was being tortured, was brutal. It consumed me. And when she eventually died, it was actually a relief. Her suffering was over, and I didn't have to think about it anymore. Your parents should have some closure, some peace.
My eyes welled up with tears, but I didn't let them fall.
I can't let you go. You know that.
I nodded.
So don't try to run. I'll have to do things you won't enjoy.
I knew the threat wasn't idle. You're taking a risk to do this for me. I would never betray you. Cain had treated me well the second I was in his captivity. He treated me like a human being rather than a piece of property. He could have hurt me, broken me, but he never did any of those things. I was treated with respect, with dignity. I shouldn't be grateful because I was still a prisoner. But I was. Cain nodded.
I know.
It was evening when we arrived. We rented a car and drove to the hotel just a few miles away from the house where I grew up. We'd slept on the plane, but we were both lethargic. It would be easy to go to sleep, but no amount of exhaustion could diminish anxiety.
Do you want to sleep, then stop by in the morning?
He asked. I sat in the passenger seat and stared at the hotel. We hadn't checked in yet, and our bags were still in the trunk. I wasn't sure if I could wait until morning. I wanted to see their faces. I don't think I can wait. Cain didn't argue with me.
Doing it at night might be easier anyway.
He typed in the address to his GPS, then got on the road. I'd never told him the address, so he must have hired someone to figure it out. We drove through the darkness with the radio off. I stared at the tall oak trees that we passed on the way to the house. They were difficult to see after the sun went down, but the streetlights lit the bark and the leaves. My heart pounded harder and quicker the closer we got. My parents were probably in bed but not sleeping, worried about me. My dad always had a hard time sleeping at night, so he must be an insomniac now. He usually had a glass of milk and a cookie around 3 in the morning. Claimed it helped him sleep. When we turned onto my block, I couldn't keep my breathing steady. I breathed deeper and harder, the anxiety setting my nerves on fire. A weight formed in the pit of my stomach, and I felt nauseated. I rested my fingertips against my bottom lip, but they kept shaking. Cain pulled up to the curb in front of the house, then killed the engine. He sat there silently as he waited for me to get out. The door was exactly as I remembered. The flowers that used to fill the flower beds had wilted and died, probably because no one was taking care of them anymore. Even though everything looked the same, there wasn't any life left in the property. They'd given up the moment I disappeared.
I'll wait here, Cain whispered. Take all the time you need.
He placed his hand on top of mine and gave me a gentle squeeze. You sure you don't want to come inside? He shook his head.
Your parents aren't going to want to see me, Bellissima.
How do you know they won't call the cops? He stared at the dimly lit porch in the front.
I trust you.
I took a deep breath before I finally opened the door. It was a dream to be home again, but since I was going to leave again in a few hours, it was short-lived. In a few weeks, I would be returned to Tristan, back to his torturous tactics and unaffectionate nicknames. It would be easy for me to betray Cain by having them call the cops, but I couldn't do that. Cain didn't deserve it. I rang the doorbell because I thought they wouldn't hear my knock. I could feel Cain stare at me from his seat in the car. His look drilled into my back as he watched me. I could feel his intensity prickle my skin everywhere. Footsteps sounded on the hardwood floor,
as they both came to the entryway. I heard a pause as they looked through the peephole, staring at my face in the dark. Then the door whipped open, the light from the hallway displaying my face. My mom was in the front, her face contorted into a million different emotions at once. Tears coated her eyes, creating a film that shone under the light. Her mouth was open like she was going to scream, but a sound never came out. My dad gripped my mom's shoulders like he needed something to hold on to, something to keep him steady. I knew they couldn't believe what they were seeing. It seemed like a dream. "It's me." Mom's breathing hitched as she cupped my face with her palms. Her warm skin pressed against my cheeks, and she released a quiet sob.
"Baby."
My hands wrapped around her wrists.
"Mommy."
We sat in the living room and drank coffee and ate cookies Mom had in the cookie jar. I told them the story of what happened, and excluded unnecessary details they didn't need to know. They knew I'd been trafficked, so they knew what happened to me, even if I didn't explicitly say it.
"You're home now," Dad said. "That's all that matters."
Telling them I had to leave again would be heartbreaking. "I have to go back, actually." My mom's face paled. "The man I've been loaned to brought me here so I could see you guys, but he has to take me back."
"Who is this man?" Mom demanded. "We can call the cops right now and—"
"No cops," I said quickly. "I hate this as much as you do, but we can't call the cops. I can't get him in trouble."
"You don't owe him anything," Dad said. "He's brainwashed you."
"He's treated me really well," I said calmly. "He's been the nicest man I've encountered since I was captured. He knew how heartbroken I was that you guys never knew what happened to me. He knew I couldn't call you because my captor would figure it out. So he brought me here in person. He's not as bad as you think."
"Well, who's the man who's taken you?"
Dad pressed.
"We can give that info to the police."
"I can't do that either. They still have Lizzie." Mom's eyes fell in sadness. "Her parents are just as devastated as we are." "If I don't cooperate, they'll kill her," I whispered. "I can't let that happen. I know this situation is terrible, but there's no way out of it. But Kane brought me here to see you. So at least we have this." It took me a long time to convince my parents to accept the situation as it was. The idea of letting me go back to that nightmare was difficult, but after hours of going around and around, they finally agreed to let me go, with tears in their eyes. My parents walked me to the door just as the sun began to rise. Mom spotted the black car at the curb, and Kane sitting inside.
"Is that him?"
I nodded.
"His name is Kane."
"I want to meet him," she said. "I want to see the man who brought you to us." I turned to the window and met his gaze. I waved him over with my hand. Kane rubbed the scruff of his jaw before he cooperated. He probably didn't want anything to do with my parents, but he wouldn't deny me anything that night. He got out, tall and muscular, and headed up the path to the front door. Dressed all in black and looking handsome, he walked up to my parents and looked them in the eye. Mom studied his features like she was trying to remember exactly what he looked like. As much as she hated this situation, she found the good in all the bad.
"Thank you for bringing her home."
She extended her hand to shake his. Kane eyed her hand, and his face immediately softened. He placed his hand in hers and shook it, giving her a slight nod in reciprocation. This was a lot harder for my father, and he didn't shake Kane's hand, but he didn't insult him either. Cain didn't seem offended.
Your daughter is a very strong woman. I've never met anyone like her.
We know, Mom said. She'll always be our little girl. Mom wrapped her arms around me and hugged me tightly. Then she broke down in tears all over again.
Cain bowed his head and averted his gaze. My father came on the other side and hugged me too. With eyes full of tears, he held me along with my mom. I didn't want to say goodbye. It was the hardest thing I'd ever had to do. But I did it.
Chapter 24 Cain. She cried quietly on the ride home. She tried to hold her breath and keep her sniffles to a minimum, probably because she thought it would irritate me. Crying women definitely annoyed me, but I didn't mind her tears. We arrived at the hotel, and I checked us into the room while she waited in the car. It was an excuse to give her some privacy, to allow her to grasp her emotions and let everything out. The hotel overlooked the ocean, so I booked the presidential suite at the very top. It was an unnecessary expense since our flight left in the morning, but I wanted her to be comfortable. I retrieved her from the car and saw her blotchy cheeks and red eyes. She'd stopped crying, but it was obvious she forced herself to. I got her out of the car and held her hand as I guided her to our room on the top floor. My fingers interlocked with hers, and I felt her faint pulse underneath the skin. We arrived at our room and walked into the small living room next to the entryway. She took a look around but didn't seem impressed, probably still thinking about the last interaction she had with her parents. Not many of us knew the last time we would see our loved ones, but she knew she would never see her parents again when she left that house. The fact that she was standing tall was impressive. She was far braver than I was. She walked to the balcony and opened the French doors to the ocean outside. The sun had risen enough that the water could be seen in the dim light. The sky was still pink with tones of orange. It almost looked like a sunset. I came up behind her and wrapped my arms around her waist. I rested my chin on top of her head and pulled her into my chest, comforting her the only way I knew how. When I thought I couldn't feel pity or compassion, I felt it for her. There was something about her that turned me into a different person, made me into a much softer man. I'm here if you want to talk.
I don't want to talk.
She turned around so she could place her face into my chest. She leaned into me and tightened her arms around my waist, her old tears sticking to my t-shirt.
Thank you for bringing me here. You're a good man.
She thought I was a good man? I threatened to return her to Tristan if she didn't open her legs. I didn't deserve such a compliment. No, I'm not. But you make me less evil.
I've seen evil, Cain. You aren't it.
She lifted her head and looked me in the eye, the moisture on the surface of her eyes reflecting the light from the room. She glanced at my lips, then leaned in and kissed me, giving me a different kind of embrace than she ever had before. It was soft and full of gratitude, the kind of affection I didn't deserve. She moved her lips to the corner of my mouth and gave me another kiss before she slipped from my arms and walked back inside. I continued to stand there, feeling cold the second she left my embrace. Then my phone started to ring. I dug it out of my pocket and saw Crow's name on the screen. He didn't call me unless he had something important to say, and since he didn't know I was out of the country, I shut the patio door behind me and took the call. What's up? Crow was quiet over the line. I knew he was there because I could hear him breathe. Crow? Somehow I knew he was mad. I could feel the tension through the silence.
We need to talk about my wife. She did something really fucking stupid.
Look for the next installment in the series, Buttons and Blame. This has been
Buttons and Shame, written by Penelope Sky, narrated by Michael Ferraiolo and Samantha Cook. Copyright 2017 by Penelope Sky. Production copyright 2017 by Penelope Sky.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.